Welcome to iRun Radio. Coming up, a Canadian Olympian who's racing today in Toronto.
I look forward to challenging myself on a weekly basis and, you know, seeing how I can progress and watching that progression, you know, through the course of a marathon build up and see how, you know, maybe 3:10 per K felt really hard at the beginning, and then after, you know, it feels, you know, 3:10 per K feels like it's, you know, like I can run very relaxed and do it. I like seeing that kind of progress and throughout a marathon build up.
Fighting the blowing sand and dust in a race through the Grand Canyon.
It was exceptionally dry this year, and the sand was all the more sandier, so it was dustier and got right into my lungs and aggravated everything. So this time around, I actually struggled with breathing.
And an amputee runner qualifies for the Boston Marathon.
When I got the email, I looked at it, like, I think I had to read it 3 times just to make sure. Is this really happening? Am I dreaming? Somebody pinched me. And then when my wife came home, I showed it to her, and she just looked at me and said, is this for real? I said, yeah, I'm going to Boston.
On this edition of iRun Radio, Canadian Olympian Reid Coolset is going to join us. We'll talk about everything from his advice to runners to the cover shot for the latest issue of iRun. Leanne Richardson is back from the Grand to Grand Ultra. It's a multi-stage race through the Grand Canyon. She's going to tell us all about it. And the very inspiring story of Tom McIntyre, who lost his leg to an accident many years ago, but has qualified for and has now been accepted into next year's Boston Marathon. Let's get things started now with the editor and general manager of iRun, Ben Kaplan. Hello, Ben.
Good morning.
It is the morning of the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon. I want to say good luck to all the people who are participating today. Hope it goes really well for you. One of the people who will be out there, of course, is Reid Coolset. We'll have an interview with him on the show today. He's on the cover of the latest issue of iRun, and he is a very inspiring Canadian Olympian who still has some fast times ahead of him, I think, Ben.
It's interesting, too, because he when he started running his really fast times was something about 10 years ago, and he was in a cohort of marathon runners that were training in Guelph, and out of his cohort, he was the oldest guy, and now almost a decade later, he's still pushing through. He's still doing it, and the other guys in his group have fallen off. So it's interesting because when you look at him, too, you don't necessarily – you're not blown away by his physique. You know, if there was a group of people in line at the grocery store and then we would ask you, who's the fastest marathon Canadian of all time?
Who's the Olympian here?
Yeah, you might not know. So he – it's interesting, and it's an interesting thing about our sport, too, that sometimes these intangible – I mean, he's just the hardest worker. Yeah, really, really interesting story. Really good guy.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about how the cover photo for iRun came together, because he is he tells the story of how that picture was taken, and it's a very cool shot. If you haven't seen it, go to iRun.ca because it's I said this before, but it's got this timeless quality to it. It feels like it's a picture from the 1920 Boston Marathon or something like that. It's just got this real sort of vibe to it that I really like. It's a black and white photo on the cover of iRun, and he looks great.
Yeah, and it really matches his personality, too, because he's sort of unadorned. You know, I always think about those guys, especially I went out to visit them when they were training in Guelph, and it always reminds me of that Rocky III when he's fighting Drago, and Drago's got all this high-tech equipment and these lasers and, you know, all of these things the best money can buy. And I saw the guys in Guelph, and they literally, like, after their workout, there's these garbage cans, and they pour ice in the garbage cans, and then they, like, ease themselves into these things. It's like, wow, you're just like Rocky with an axe in the woods, you know? It's great. And so sort of that reflects in his photograph.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, nothing fancy. There's no tricks. You know, how does he do it? He goes out early in the morning, and he runs a lot, and, you know, various instances he runs faster, and then he does it again and does it again and does it again.
Yeah, very cool. Now, how are you feeling? You're running a marathon, so I know you're also doing New York in a few weeks, so how's it feel right now?
You know, I feel like I'm on top of my game. I feel good. I feel strong. I actually, you know, in a weird circumstance, I had everything. I was getting, you know, sometimes when my races get close, I drop into this anal mode, and I'm really very persnickety about what I eat and what I do and where I walk, and I could be grumpy to my wife, and it's just, you know, you're just an irascible human being, okay? But so what I did was I walked into the wall, and I kind of blacked out my eye and split my lip. I did this on Saturday.
Wow.
And since then, though, it's, you know, a lot of those little things have fallen by the wayside. And instead, I've adopted this attitude like, you know, I'm tough. I'm strong. I don't need every little thing to be perfect. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go out there and I'm going to run fast and I'm going to run into the wind and I'm not going to quit. And it's like I just sort of readjusted my strategy that I'm so fragile to now it's like I'm so tough.
Good for you. I think sometimes those, yeah, but I think sometimes those distractions are good. They kind of, it's like a reset button and it sort of recalibrates your expectations. And then you go in there kind of feeling like the underdog instead of feeling like everything's gone perfectly and now you have to execute on some level, right? So
yeah,
I think that's good.
I'm not a Lamborghini. I'm a Jeep that could go in the mud. I'm not going to break. I'm going to push through. So if you should see me. I look like a hockey player. I've got a black eye. I got a full beard. I'm like, you know, I'm into it.
Okay,
so,
good.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, best of luck to you. I'm excited about this race for you, but also excited about running New York City because you're from New York and you've never done the New York Marathon, right?
Yeah, I mean, things are just, you know, I got to say, things are just turning up A-okay for me. So, I'm appreciative and I'm lucky and I'm feeling healthy and I'm having fun. And, you know, I just hope that same spirit infuses all of our listeners and all of our friends.
Well, the New York Marathon is very special. I think you're going to enjoy that one a lot. Very cool event and incredible crowds. And, hey, it's New York, right? How could it be anything but amazing? So,
there are plenty of pizza places to go to afterwards. So we
absolutely.
Have to worry about that.
Yeah. All right, good stuff, Ben. Good luck with all of your racing and your training. And we will talk to you next week and hear all about it.
Can I just add one last thing?
Yeah.
Anybody that wants to see, you know, that magazine with Reed is out now. So at the running room near you, you can get the print copy, too. Anybody running the Scotiabank Marathon in Toronto, the magazine will be in your bag. But anywhere else you are, you can get the magazine. Every running room has it. So the print copies are available. They're out because it's gorgeous and digital. But it's, you know, it's next level when you see this thing in print.
Cool. Good stuff. Talk to you next week, Ben.
Thank you, my friend.
Ben Kaplan, iRun's editor and general manager. Coming up next, Canadian Olympian Reed Coolset. iRun Radio is brought to you in part by New Balance Canada. New Balance is a proud sponsor of the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon, fitting elite Olympic marathoners like Reed Coolset and also making shoes that are ideal for you. Reed Coolset ran the marathon for Canada at both the 2012 and 2016 Olympics. He is on the cover of the latest issue of iRun. He is racing in today's Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon, and I spoke with Reed a few days ago. Reed, welcome to iRun Radio.
Yeah, my pleasure.
So you're going to be running in the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon, and of course, whenever a runner of your caliber is running in an event like this on what is considered to be one of the fastest courses in Canada, people talk about the Canadian record, which has stood for so long. And I see people kind of with some buzz around whether or not you're going to break the record, whether or not you're going to set a personal best. So tell us a little bit about how your training has been going and what kind of shape you feel you're in heading into this marathon.
Well, I was actually never really planning on going for the record this time around.
But everybody's talking about that, right?
yeah, of course, everyone talks about it all the time. It's always the chatter. I think it's kind of funny, even when I say, somebody asks me, you know, what's the best case scenario? I say, well, it's me right under 2:10. Realistically, my training was good. I would have liked to have gotten in better shape, but realistically, I would say 2:12 is kind of a realistic goal for me this run up.
Okay.
And unfortunately, I got sick beginning of October, and I've been struggling since just to hit a pace that's even close to marathon pace. So I'm really hoping that in the next, hopefully in the next few days, but at least by October 21st, that at least my health comes around enough where I don't feel this like I have this bug anymore. And then I at least can use my fitness. Of course, I lost a bunch of the key workouts towards the end. But I've been running I haven't had to take too many days off because of what I have, but definitely the quality has suffered a lot.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, but you're still, obviously before this happened, you were still feeling pretty good about how your training was going and what the potential was, right?
Yeah. I mean, I had September went really well. I did a half marathon at Rochester and I was happy with that. And I felt like that was turning point in my training where, you know, I had that really hard effort and things got easier after that. And I did. I had a couple of really good workouts, to finish off September. And then, early October, things just haven't clicked since then because of this bug that I have.
So tell me a little bit about what you've done differently and what you've learned along the way, because obviously you've been doing this for a long time. Marathons are not new for you, but if you're doing better at this stage, you must be doing something different. And I think we all know, and we've all heard it said before, that there is a learning curve to marathons, and you do have to run a few before you really start to understand what it takes to get faster, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, marathons, it's so much different than, you know, 10K and a half marathon in the way you train and then just on race day and the things you have to deal with on race day, you know, as far as fueling and just the pure exhaustion and your legs feeling like, you know, they're giving out from underneath you, like feelings and stuff that I don't get in the half marathon and 10K. Those hurt in their own right. But they're quite different. And, you know, as far as training over the years, I have found what works for me, but I also haven't just stuck to that same plan. I think as you keep doing certain workouts, you don't get the same bang for your buck as you used to. And so it's important to add new things, whether that's, you know, running longer or doing faster intervals or, you know, in 2015, one of the things I added was speed pills. So I started, you know, maybe only two or three times in a whole marathon buildup. So every three or four weeks, I'll go to a really steep hill and do 10K up and down. And that's kind of like, you know, my weight room kind of stuff. But, it challenges me in a different way. And I think bringing, new stimulus to your training will help you make improvements, even, you know, as you age and as you get used to, you know, the bread and butter workouts that you've been doing for years.
Yeah, and you learn what works and what doesn't, and you apply that to the next race. But it's a complicated mix, isn't it? There's so many variables. It's hard to control every one of them, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. And one thing I've noticed as I've aged, my leg speed just doesn't come around as quickly. I used to be able to just touch on it every once in a while, and I seemed good to go for the marathon. Whereas now I really have to focus on you know, that 5K and 10K type training, and try to bring that into my marathon training, just so it's still there. Whereas before, maybe because I had done so many track seasons back to back to back, and I was younger, I kind of just took it for granted that I could go out and, you know, do 10 times a K, much quicker than my marathon goal pace. And now just to get that, you know, 10 or 15 seconds faster than marathon goal pace is quite a chore.
So let's talk for a moment about what you've learned along the way running these marathons, because there are some great tips in the latest issue of iRun from you and from some other elite runners. And I know that runners are always looking for advice, and they turn to people like you who have so much experience and have had so much success. So tell me a little bit about what you've picked up along the way.
Well, I mean, as far as fueling goes, one of the biggest things is to practice. I wasn't good right off the bat. Some people, their stomachs are just, they're great. You know, they can put whatever, you know, they want in the stomach and they don't have any problems. Whereas my stomach would get a bit upset. So, but over time I learned kind of what drinks work better for me and, you know, taking smaller sips and carrying that water bottle a bit longer, than I normally would. Right now, endurance tap, seems to be my best gel, and Morton for a sports drink has been working well. And yeah, practicing, it goes a long way. As far as the mental side of a marathon too, I mean, that's something that really does, you know, take a lot of, you know, I guess practice as well. And the more marathons you run, the more kind of ups and downs you go through, and you kind of learn how to, you know, focus better and push through certain pain better and discomfort. And I mean, I remember the last good marathon that I ran, like as far as time wise, was in 2016 in December there. And I ran that race pretty much alone. I didn't go with the Pacers, and I had never been so focused in my life. So it was something that, you know, after, you know, 10 plus marathons, actually probably my 10th marathon then, I was just able to get into a zone that I hadn't been able to get into before, and push myself without having the competition like right there beside me, or, you know, right behind Pacers. So yeah, little things like that, you know, experience helps. And, you know, if you kind of, you know, finish the marathon and dissect it a little and kind of remember like certain cues, then you know, you have those in your back pocket for next time.
Yeah, and tell me more, because in the issue of iRun, you talk about how you maintain your pace late in the race, which is one of the big challenges of the marathon. It gets harder the further into it you are, especially if you're running close to your kind of red line, your maximum ability. The later you get in the race, the tougher it is, and you have to kind of overcome that. So what are some of the things you do to be able to overcome that and keep your pace?
Yeah, I mean that's of course like the hardest thing in the marathon is just to maintain your pace. You know, anybody can start off at a, you know, a pretty good clip, and then, you know, it depends how far you can go. I mean, for me, a lot of the times it's kind of digging in to my motivation and what I want to get out of the race. So, you know, kind of getting into that, you know, I guess like the things that really matter. So, you know, whether it's a qualification time or, you know, just running a personal best, you know, being competitive in a race and wanting to beat certain people or, you know, finish high up that I can, and, you know, in the top 10 or something like that. You know, those are the things I have to remind myself, you know, why I've trained so long, why I've trained so hard for it, and that I got to get everything I can out of my body on the day to, you know, make all that training worth it. And sometimes it's actually shutting off the brain. So if I can shut off my brain and maintain pace in a marathon, that's the best thing, because then you're not wasting any extra energy, overthinking things. And it's, you know, you just kind of get into the zone, and that's usually when you can follow, you know, other runners that are running the same pace as me. And the longer I can do that into the race, then usually the fresher my mind is towards the end when it's going to really count. And that's when I start, you know, thinking about what matters, thinking about, you know, how my body's moving, thinking about quick steps. You know, I want to keep the same, you know, leg turnover as I was doing at the first part of the marathon, and, you know, making sure I'm not slouched over, you know, make sure that the form's still intact.
Those are all great tips, and so much of it is mental, because you have so much time to think when you're running a marathon. Tell me about, you know, at the this is competitive for you. You have specific goals. This is effectively your full-time occupation and preoccupation. Do you still get joy from running, whether it's racing or training?
Oh yeah, for sure. I don't think you know I could do well and it just be a job. Like if it was just kind of, you know, trying to run 200 kilometers in a week and I didn't enjoy it, I don't think I'd get that much out of it. And I think my body would probably break down. You know, you have to really love what you're doing in order to do it to a, you know, almost like an extreme level. Yeah, and I do. I enjoy going running if I wasn't training for a marathon, I would still be trying to run every day, and you know, it would look much different. And I enjoy the challenge of it too. So, you know, doing two, you know, fast workouts every week, and I look forward to those, and I look forward to challenging myself on a weekly basis, and you know, seeing how I can progress and watching that progression, you know, through the course of a marathon build up, and see how, you know, maybe 3:10 per K felt really hard at the beginning, and then after, you know, it feels, you know, 3:10 per K feels like it's, you know, like I can run very relaxed and do it. I like seeing that kind of a progress and throughout a marathon build up.
So, Reed, I wanted to talk about the cover photo of the latest issue of iRun, because I think it's a terrific photo. It's got a real timeless quality to it. It's a black and white photo. I encourage people to check it out on our website at iRun.ca. Maybe tell us a little bit about the process of taking this photo that ended up on the cover of the magazine.
Yeah, it's really cool. I was really happy with how that turned out for a couple of reasons. So, Nick, the photographer, came with me on a run, and he was just going to, like, you know, snap some pics to go along with the article and kind of figure out what we wanted to do for the cover shot. And so I just did my normal run. I think he came for two runs, and I probably ran about 22 to 25K in the morning, just kind of did my normal route. And, you know, in the middle of the run a couple times, he just said, like, okay, stop here, we'll take a picture. You know, lighting's good, or like the background's good, or whatnot. And he did a little bit of video, and, you know, took some pictures, and got back to my house, sat on my porch like I normally do. You're just kind of snapping pictures of a normal run. And we had another date booked to do the cover shot, and that was going to be, you know, typical perfect lighting with, you know, a backdrop and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, different New Balance kits, try things out. And then, Ben sent me a couple pictures from the run, just in the middle of the run. And he's like, yeah, I think we're going to go with this one for the cover shot. And I thought, like, one, it looked great. And two, that's awesome that I don't have to do this, you know, kind of like sit around and try to pose and think too much of it. You know, the shot that got taken was really just on a run, and I didn't really think much of it. And, didn't think it was going to be a cover shot, so it was just kind of relaxed and easy to do.
Wow.
So yeah, I liked the process of it, and of course it turned out really well.
Yeah, it turned out great. Very very cool. Well, Reed, thank you so much for your time and your advice. I know, as I said, lots of runners really love hearing tips from an elite runner like you, an Olympian. And I want to wish you the best of luck in the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon. Thanks for being on the show.
Great, yeah, thanks for having me. We'll see how things go on the 21st. They look rough right now, but they can turn around pretty quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope that's the case.
That's Canadian Olympian Reed Coolset. Coming up next, surviving the sand and dust in the Grand to Grand Ultra.
iRun Radio is brought to you in part by New Balance Canada. New Balance is a proud sponsor of the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon, fitting elite Olympic marathoners like Reed Coolset, and also making shoes that are ideal for you. Welcome back to iRun Radio. iRun Radio is on the air every Sunday morning on 1310 News in Ottawa. And don't forget, you can listen to the podcast and you can check out past editions of the show at iRun.ca. Just click on radio. You can also see the latest issue of iRun there with the cover story on Reed Coolset. Leanne Richardson was with us a few months ago as she was training for her second Grand to Grand Ultra. This is a week-long, multi-stage race through the Grand Canyon. Leanne has finished the race, and she is here to tell us all about it. Leanne, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much again for having me, Mark.
So, how was the Grand to Grand Ultra the second time around for you?
Completely different. I expected it to be different, but not in this way. So I think every time you do something like this, obviously there's a lot of challenges, and I felt very prepared. I went into it more relaxed this time, having done the course. So in that sense, I didn't have the same anxious feelings or the unknown and uncertainty that goes with distance running. But I went into it with cold that I thought when I started at the start line would have cleared up. And instead, when I landed in Kanab, or actually when I got into Vegas and then drove to Kanab, it was exceptionally dry this year, and the sand was all the more sandier. So it was dustier and got right into my lungs and aggravated everything. So this time around, I actually struggled with breathing. So that was a different thing for me.
Oh, no. That's not good.
Yeah, so it was definitely different. It was a different challenge. Mentally, I felt physically ready to take on the race. But I just didn't have the breathing capacity to be able to run like I wanted to. But everybody was struggling with something. And because the sand was so, like, the terrain itself, the course itself was almost unrecognizable to me. There were sections that I remember being really fun and we were able to run. And this year it was completely covered in sand and it didn't even look like the same course. So I think going into day one and two, especially, I had wanted to use day one just as they get out and have fun and just remember the terrain a little bit. And day two was where I really wanted to push myself and see what I could do. And both days, probably over 80% of the day was spent hiking, power hiking, just getting through the sand. It was a very, very different course this year. Many people who had returned or had come to actually break records, some of the elite runners, everybody was running, or the times were that much slower because of the sand this time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
what's that like? And just describe what you're experiencing as you're going through these stages with all of that sand blowing everywhere and the dryness in the air.
Well, for myself, I tend to be probably mid to third of the way back of the pack. So you can imagine when you start at the start line, you've got all your elite fast runners at the front, you've got your faster runners and those that want to take off ahead, and within a minute, you're pulling up a buff around your face because there's a cloud of dust. It's just sand. And so the first section, until you actually spread out a little bit, you're actually just trying to not breathe in a lot of sand because it was that fine and dusty. And then when you're sort of spread out more and you're just trying to get into it, whether you're going uphill, downhill, or on the straights, it's like as if you were at a resort beach and you try to run for any length of time, except you're doing a marathon or more in those conditions. So you want to run, your body is feeling like you're able to run, and you can run so much, and then it just works muscles in a different way, and the challenge is just so very different.
And remind people of what this event comprises. Just walk us through the Grand to Grand Ultra, what kind of endurance test it is.
Well, it's a seven-day, multi-day stage race, so it's 6 days of running. You have the first day you're running about a marathon, so 42 kilometers, 42.2. The second day would be, I believe it was about 50, so an ultra run. And then you have your long stage, which comprises of about 85 kilometers. Then you're back to running a marathon, 50K. And the last day is climbing out of the Grand Canyon. So the entire race is kind of run. It actually crosses over from Utah to Arizona, so you're in two different states, and you are, it's just a multi-day, so you're carrying everything that you need for that entire 7 days on your back. They provide you water at each checkpoint, and that at camp you have hot water that's given to you to cook your food at night. Many people come into it with the idea of, well, I remember when I chatted with you earlier about what the, what the goal was. And for me, really meeting new people was ultimately what I enjoy, going to these events and meeting new people. And I think I was most impressed with, a group of people, CrossFitters that had come together as a group who had never ran before, let alone ran a marathon or an ultra marathon of any sort, but they came in together to raise money for an organization, Jar of Hope, and they decided to take on this ultra event. And most of them were completing their first 5K, half marathon, and marathon on the first day.
Wow.
So it's an endurance challenge that people do for multiple reasons.
Yeah, that's inspiring. Now, so how did it turn out for you, given these conditions?
Well, mentally, I mean, I finished. So,
congratulations.
Thank you so much. It was going through the mental challenge of when you have your goals, you know, you have your, most people probably set their number one goal and then, you know, goal number two and three. And so obviously, ultimately, you want to finish. And so when I went out, I had tried to beat the time from last year. And to be honest, or 2016, I haven't even looked at my times to see where I placed. But by the second day, when I realized that I was having a different challenge, my feet are fantastic, my body feels great. I went into it and I was prepared and I was trained. So having the physical challenge of just breathing, and then it wasn't something that, like, you're sharing a tent with seven other people and you come into it with at night coughing. And so the last thing you want to do is keep everybody up around you because everybody's trying to sleep. And I think I was mentally exhausted by the second day, just trying to get from checkpoint to checkpoint. So at the end of the second day, going into it and just realizing that this was a different race and I wasn't going to be able to run it like I wanted to, and accepting that and then taking on that challenge as a new challenge. And so I think once I was able to do that, I was able to embrace the race for what it was, for what I could get from it. And I was really, you know, ultimately connecting with other people, watching. The whole thing is really, you're cheering everybody else on. You want to see everyone succeed. And there becomes that, you know, that relationship with other people as you see everybody that's challenged in a different way. The heat was incredible. I think it was low 90s, maybe 93, 94 on most days. Lots of sun, lots of heat stroke for people. And then, like I said, everybody was dealing with the sand and the breathing in a different way. I think for myself, it was just aggravated with the cold that I had, you know, previously before starting. So.
But that's one of the things about running these long-distance races is you can't control the conditions and you need to be adapting to whatever happens and not just adapting physically, but adapting mentally and accepting that, hey, this isn't going to go the way I thought it would. And I think that's one of the most powerful lessons of doing these kinds of events, isn't it?
It really is. And I think that, you know, the mental challenge for, you know, even when running a marathon or half marathon or whatever somebody's goal is that you can't control race day. You can't control the conditions. You can't control how you wake up that morning, how your body feels. And I do think the adaptation is so important that if you want to finish too many, well, I think you would miss out on the experience if you give up early just because it's not going the way you want it to. Because I think we can learn something from every experience. I think it's just you have to make that mental change in your head about what you're okay with and that you're going to accept what's happening and then enjoy it for what it brings you.
Yeah, that's a very powerful lesson. Well, Leanne, I congratulate you. You still finished the Grand to Grand Ultra for a second time, which is a remarkable accomplishment. So I applaud you for that. And it's such an inspiring story just to train for something like this and finish it. So congratulations on that. And I look forward to hearing about what's next for you somewhere down the line. So thanks for your time today.
Thank you so much, Mark. Take care.
Leanne Richardson of Ottawa, who has completed the Grand to Grand Ultra for a second time. Coming up next, an amputee runner is accepted into the Boston Marathon. iRun Radio is brought to you in part by New Balance Canada. New Balance is a proud sponsor of the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon, fitting elite Olympic marathoners like Reed Coolset, and also making shoes that are ideal for you. Tom McIntyre is an amputee runner from Renfrew, Ontario, who found out recently he has been accepted into next year's Boston Marathon. Tom, it is great to talk to you again. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Mark. It's good to talk to you.
So before we talk about finally getting into the Boston Marathon, let's talk about your story and remind our listeners what you've experienced and how you got into running. You are, I've told you before, you're an inspiration to me and to so many other people, and I'm so happy for you that you've finally qualified for and been accepted into Boston, because those are two different things now. So, but just remind us of the story of how you got here.
Well, it all started back in 2005. I was in the bush cutting down a big maple tree, and the wind caught it, and it sent it back on me and broke my right leg below the knee. Numerous surgeries to try and save it, and they ended up having to amputate it. And it took about a year to get back on my feet over some problems with an original break that I had before, and then infections. And then once I got going, everything was going great, and my walking come back perfectly, and running wasn't in the radar at all. But my wife was a runner, and I was going to all her runs and everything like that. And actually, she ran New York once, and I was thinking, you know what, maybe I should try this. And I approached my my doctor at the rehab center in Ottawa, Dr. Nancy Dudek, and asked her about getting a running leg made. So she wrote up a prescription and sent it to my insurance company, and lo and behold, they made it for me. And I started off with 5K runs and 10K runs and moved up to half marathons. And last year I ran my first full marathon, and that was the one that qualified me for Boston. And so I said, okay, let's register. And lo and behold, I registered and I made it in. I still can't believe it.
So what does that mean to you, Tom? You've qualified for and been accepted into the Boston Marathon.
It's a feeling. It's hard to describe. Well, I'm on top of the world, but it's a prestigious run, and I never ever thought I'd make it into it. Like I said, like I'd become a runner, and never ever thought I'd be running the Boston Marathon.
So you'll be doing it next April, obviously, and yes. How would you characterize this? Is it a dream come true? It feels like you're still coming to terms with it a little bit. You're still processing the fact that this is really going to happen.
Yeah, you're right. I'm still processing it. Like I said, I never ever dreamt I'd be doing it, and wow, here we are. And I guess maybe it is a dream coming true. Like, I know I'm going to New York at the end of in February to run it, but that doesn't seem nothing compared to going to Boston. My focus is on Boston now.
Yeah.
New York's on the back burner.
So tell me about that marathon where you qualified. What was the experience like completing that distance for the first time? Because I think we talked to you around then. What was it? How difficult was it, and how did it go?
Well, it was a typical morning. I got up very excited. I thought I'd be running it alone, but I met a young lady, Jerry McCollum, at the Friendship Run the day before, and we decided to run it together. And I'm glad we did. It was become friends. We become friends doing it, and we chatted through the whole thing. The first half of the marathon ran was really good, and then it got hot, 28 plus degrees. I wasn't planning on that. Way my leg sweats inside the liner and the prosthetic, had to take it off a couple of times. And the last half was tough, but she pushed me, and I pushed her, and we prevailed and got through it and then crossing the finish line. Well, it was an experience. I'd never ever thought I'd feel that way. Like, it was just an experience. Like, it was when I walked for the first time when I first got my prosthetic. Like, I just felt like a little kid walking into a candy store.
Yeah, well,
I'm really excited.
Yeah, I can imagine how thrilling that would be. So why do you run, Tom? Why is it that you, as you said, you could walk and that was going fine. Your wife is a runner. You could have gone with her and accompanied her for 5 or 10K races. But why is it you run, and why is it you wanted to do marathons and get into Boston?
The reason, to run, I thought, well, to give me something to do, and then once I started doing it, I help, and I become a peer visitor through the Rehabilitation Center in Ottawa to talk with other amputees and help them through their difficult times. And I do it to show people that you still can. Like, life like when you have a major accident like this, like it changes your life. But you know what? Like life goes on after a major injury like this, and you can still lead a normal, happy life. And happy is an understatement. Like doing all this stuff, like I'm just on, when I, especially running my first marathon, I'm just on cloud nine every time I do it. Any kind of a run, I'm on cloud nine, just because I can.
Yeah, well, that's very well said. So qualifying was one thing, but actually getting in was another, because as you know, you've seen it happen over the last few years, that it's getting tougher and tougher all the time to get into Boston. Even if you qualify, they don't necessarily accept you because they can only take the fastest runners. And if too many people apply, then they drop the slower runners, even from among those who qualify. So
yes,
you get the thrill of qualifying and knowing that you have the opportunity to apply, but then you have to go through the process and wait to hear back from them. So describe what it was like when you got the email.
Actually, when I got the email, I looked at it, like, I think I had to read it three times just to make sure, is this really happening? Am I dreaming? Somebody pinched me. And then when my wife come home, I showed it to her, and she just looked at me. She says, is this for real? I said, yeah, I'm going to Boston.
That's great. So what are your plans? Have you started thinking ahead to Boston now?
Yeah, actually, last week we got our rooms all booked and everything else and ready to go. And so we'll get this marathon ran at the end of on the 4th of November in New York and take a week or two and then down to work with the training.
And look, New York City, you're going to be doing the New York City Marathon. That's pretty cool, too.
Yes.
It's a very exciting race. There's lots of energy, lots of people cheering you on. So I'm sure you'll have a great time there. So you've got that to look forward to as well.
Yes, yes. Now, I'm a little worried about it. My training wasn't where it was supposed to be this summer with all this heat we had. But I prevailed, and I think I'm going to be okay. But you know what? We're just going to go and enjoy it, and enjoy the atmosphere, and get it done.
And what are your goals for Boston? Just to soak up as much atmosphere and energy as you can while you're there?
Yes, and I'm going to, you know, we have to figure out how I'm going to train this winter, and because of the ice and snow, I guess a lot of it will be on a treadmill, but they're saying maybe a mild winter, and if that's the case, that'll be great too. But yeah, we'll soak up as much excitement and everything else over there and try and do my best and enjoy the run and see what kind of a time I can have at the end of the day.
And then what, Tom? What have you got planned after that?
I'm not 100% sure.
But obviously you'll keep running.
I'm not going to stop, but I'd like to do a couple more, but where, I don't know. We'll see how we get through when we get Boston done.
Yeah. Well, you've got a lot to look forward to as it is between New York and Boston. Tom, your story is so inspiring. I'm so impressed with what you've done, and I'm so happy for you that you have not only qualified but have been accepted into the Boston Marathon, and you'll be running it next April. I can't wait to hear how it goes. Thank you so much for joining us on the show, and congratulations once again.
Well, thanks, Mark. Thank you very much.
That's Tom McIntyre of Renfrew, Ontario, who will be racing in Boston next year, like thousands of other Canadians who made the cut. It's getting tougher every year. Coming up in the weeks ahead on iRun Radio, Canadian Olympian Sage Watson, who's now writing an advice column for iRun, the inspiring story of a runner with MS who completed his first marathon, and a runner who has completed every single edition of the Philadelphia Marathon. I hope you can be with us for the next edition of iRun Radio. Thank you for joining us. Have a great week.